What's good, Dallas? This is your girl, Brianna Javon. And if you've been thinking about starting a podcast or taking yours to the next level, I've got you covered. Book a podcast power session with What's Good Productions. In just 30 minutes, we'll tackle your ideas, crush those hurdles, and get your podcast ready to shine. Visit whatsgood-productions.com or click the link in the show notes. Now let's get ready for the show.
The What's Good Podcast.
Are you ready?
Your number one source
to all the keys in the industry.
With Brianna Javon.
It's the What's Good Podcast.
What's good? Hey, ladies and gents, this is your girl, Brianna Javon, and we are here with another episode of What's Good Podcast. We are super excited. We have a wild card Wednesday, and we have Ann Tyler and Brian Karate. How are y'all doing?
We are great. Thank you so much for having us, Brianna.
Hey, Brianna.
Yes. And we have so many interesting things to jump into. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And how we usually start, well, every episode, this is how we start. Who is the guest? So for you two, who are the Conradis?
So I'm Ann Tyler Conradi, and this is my husband, Brian. We've been married 31 years now. And we are the owners of a glamping resort in Central Texas called The Utopian. We have two locations, Wimberley and Dripping Springs.
Okay. And was there any intentions of those particular cities of why you wanted to do the retreats there?
Well, I mean, I would say that if we were trying to look smart, we'd say we did all kinds of market research about where there's very little seasonality across the United States, where we have four big cities with high populations of disposable income, et cetera. But no, that's not the way it worked out. We ended up buying a little piece of property next to Ann Tyler's parents' property that they bought in 1974 and just stumbled across this business. Yeah.
Very nice. And so Utopian, for people who don't know, how was the name created, the foundation of the business? Let's talk about that.
Sure. Well, we started building it in 2018. As Brian said, I grew up in Austin and my parents had a place in Wimberley since the 70s. So I grew up coming here as a kid and we had bought some property adjacent to my parents in, 2007, 2008, and had just sort of sat on it and were doing other things in our careers. And in 2018, we got the idea of maybe trying to set up little cabins in the woods, something that we could put on Airbnb. We have three daughters, so we thought, let's make three of whatever we make. And so that's kind of how it was conceived of. And then you want to talk about how we came across yurts?
Well, yes, I guess we came across it for two reasons. One is we've traveled a lot. We've spent some time traveling in particular in Central Asia. Central Asia is where yurts come from. Yurts are there. I think a lot of people are familiar with Native American teepees, but imagine a Native American teepee that's round but domed on the top. So yurts have been used for thousands of years by nomadic cultures. We ran across them. They are beautiful, soulful structures that we thought would be great to have people experience with some outdoor vibes here in the Texas Hill Country.
And they're low impact on the land. So we realized that if we wanted to create something that was still wooded around it and we didn't want to have to cut all the trees and we've got hills over here in the hill country, that it made a lot of sense to bring in a structure that could be built on site and we wouldn't have to cut all the trees. Like we had thought about container cabins, which were also popular at the time. And people were, you know, making cool structures out of containers, but those would have required a crane. And that was just not doable in our space. So we decided on these yurts in Mongolia, and the yurt is called a Ger, G-E-R. So ours are all named female names, and they're all named after family members of ours or friends, family members. And this one that we're in right now is called Ella Ger, and you can see that it's all hand-painted, and it's 20 feet wide and has a king-size bed, and we have an air conditioning heater in there, and it's a pretty cool, interesting space for people to come and experience the hill country in.
I love that. So what I'm hearing is intentionality, right? From family being involved, eco-friendly. And so I want to talk to you guys to understand what intentionality means for you and your business. Because this is just me hearing, but I want to hear directly from you guys. What does that mean for you?
Well, yes, I think it really meant it started with this piece of property we had purchased, but didn't quite have a plan for. So we kind of just slept on it and digested it and thought about what's the right thing to do with this piece of property? We married that with our backgrounds, our travel experiences, and kind of built what we thought we would want to enjoy here. So we intentionally did not build. I think a lot of people in our industry, if they buy, you know, let's say 10 acres, they'll see how many units or keys, as they say in the industry, can we put on one piece of property? And they put them right next to each other. So we intentionally thought it's better for the property, for the land, environmentally speaking, in terms of environmental footprint. And it's better for a guest experience if we don't build these right on top of each other. So we put space between them, allow people to really feel like they've gotten away. That was part of what we would have wanted if we were just building a getaway for ourselves. And so,
two-person occupancy, that was very intentional. We did no kids, adults only, because, you know, kids are loud. We have our own kids and we love kids, but two-person occupancy means quiet space. And we were trying, we are the neighbor in Wimberley. And so we were having our neighbors in mind. And yeah, it worked. People really liked it. And of course, as we said before, this was 2019 when we opened our first yurt. And then we all know what happened after that, COVID. And who could have ever guessed? But it was a great business to be in during COVID because people were needing to have contactless check-in and a place in the woods where they didn't see their neighbors and they weren't, you know, sharing a wall in a hotel room. And it was beautiful and it was luxurious and it felt like a getaway, but it was 45 minutes from their home in San Antonio or Austin. Or so
not exactly intentionality there, but it's nice to have
stumble onto
a bit of stuff that gets a little shot in the arm sometimes. Yeah.
And so with that being said, I do want to ask, because your backgrounds are totally different from hospitality. We have marketing for Ann Tyler, for Brian. We have you as a lawyer at one point. And so why hospitality? Like, what was the purpose? What was the mind frame? Because like you mentioned, it was just a situation like, okay, we see this acre of land. Now, what do we do with it? So what was the actual foundation for the business? Where did the purpose come from? Where did the mindset come in?
I think probably just our very natures are entrepreneurial. And when you're thinking through an entrepreneurial kind of lens or filter, you take what you know, you take what you have, and you say, what can we do with our experiences and what we've got in our pockets? And we had a beautiful piece of land and a place that, like we mentioned, has very little seasonality, and people love coming to Wimberley, Texas, and they love coming to the Hill Country. So I think we just married what we knew would most likely work with what we thought we could pull off ourselves, and this evolved into the business model that is the Yurtopian. Yeah.
Yeah. And it definitely suits our personalities. We both are extroverts by nature and we like meeting the guests and we like the interactions and we like that it's different every single day. We wake up and it's never the same situation in any given day where Brian's running around doing some sort of maintenance something, or we're both putting our heads into the marketing ideas or the bookkeeping, or we're coming up with new pricing, or we're thinking through like, what would a guest want and what can we add on to the experience? Like every day it's different. And I think that just suits our personalities. And
I think glamping's a fun business. It's
yes.
Even the problems. I mean, sometimes we have to tell ourselves, you know, we're not saving lives here. You know, we're not running a hospital. So when we get super stressed about something that's gone wrong, I mean, we've got, you know, raccoons that have attacked somebody's refrigerator. It's not a pleasant thing. Nobody wants to have that happen, but it's a challenging kind of fun world we're living in. And we're enjoying it.
And people are happy because they're on vacation. We mm-hmm. tend to have, as we said, it's two-person occupancy. So we tend to have couples who come out and it's often a celebratory moment. It's a baby moon or a honeymoon, or it's an anniversary or a birthday. They've come for a celebratory moment and they're excited to be here and we're excited to have them. And I'd say 99.9% of our guests are just amazing and they write really beautiful things in our guest books and we have fun conversations and it attracts, I suppose, nice, happy people. Glamping is fun.
I love it. Okay, so let's talk about the yurt itself. I'm seeing how beautiful it is. If you're listening, we are also on YouTube. Just go ahead and throw that out there to see what this particular yurt looks like. We're actually filming in the yurt right now. What was the inspiration? Because I know you guys mentioned that y'all have traveled and y'all have seen it yourself. What made you decide to use the actual yurt itself? And also, like, what was it as far as designing and making that all come cohesive when it came to creating the business?
Yeah, well, yurts, I think, came from our travel background and a desire to be less
light footprint.
Yeah, less difficult on the land. So we didn't have to pour a slab of concrete and so forth. These are built on decks. We put hardwood floors on top and air conditioning's inside. But at the end of the day, they're not doing a lot of damage and they're all organic materials. So we like the environmental side of them. We like the soulful side of them. They're made by a family in Mongolia that's been doing it for generations and they're all hand painted, et cetera. So we like the look and the feel, the vibe and
insulation.
Yes. Oh, yurts are different than a lot of other kind of more temporary types of structures because they come with, they have a layer of canvas on the outside. And below that, we put something they don't do in Mongolia. We put a layer of like Tyvek house wrap, helps with moisture control. But below that, it has the very thick layer of sheep's wool felt, which is the original insulation of humankind. And that wool layer works great. I mean, in Mongolia, it's hot in the summer and cold in the winter. So it works great here in Texas in terms of keeping the cold air in for most of the year and keeping things warm, obviously, in the winter. And then below that, we have this layer of cotton that keeps everything looking nice. And so four layers in these yurts, and they're just pretty cool.
And then they have lattice work that you can kind of see behind us. And the lattice doesn't have any nails in it. It is all held together in the joints with camel hide, which is so, and then there's a horsehair rope that kind of wraps around both internally and externally. So it is an authentic Mongolian gur, and you can buy a more modern yurt from other companies in the U.S., and those are cool too, but these are really special from a soulful, handmade perspective.
What did that research look like to say, like you mentioned, the U.S. is different from other people that may make yurts. So what did that research look like? Okay, we know we want yurts. Now, how are we going to get them? Who are we going to source them through? How are we going to make this happen to make sure that the dream came true as far as your vision?
Yeah, I have stayed in yurts in Mongolia and in Kyrgyzstan. I was lucky enough to do a trip with somebody that was doing a Habitat for Humanity trip in Kyrgyzstan, and we stayed in yurts. It was amazing, an amazing experience. And just, we thought, well, gosh, we need to do something like that here. And then we stumbled across an amazing person who has been working with a family in Mongolia, bringing yurts and distributing them all around the world. His company is called Groovy Yurts. They're based out of Canada. And he's set up yurts in Iceland and Costa Rica and everywhere in between. And he taught us how to set these up. And so we're big supporters of his business and are happy to work with Eve at Groovy Yurts.
And so I do want to ask you, when it comes to community, how do you take the intake as far as, you know, their responses or if they have requests of, you know, next time we come out here, we would love da, 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 da. How do you take that in to support your business to make sure these people come back and also enjoy their time while they're there?
Well, we work really hard to communicate with our customers, even though we're technically contactless check-in. So if we've done our jobs correctly, when you come to the Yurtopian, you can come to your yurt and go in by yourself. There's no reception area. You don't need to meet anybody. And if you have a fantastic time and don't need anything while you're there, then we may never communicate with you person to person. Of course, if you do have issues, we're around and we're happy to jump in. But because it's contactless and we really respect people's privacy at the yurt, we have different systems in our booking software and in our customer service software where we communicate via text message and email with people. So we ask the question, we ask for reviews at the end, we give a discount for if you finish your stay and you want to come back, we offer a discount at the end of your stay that you can use the code in the next 3 days kind of thing. And we'd love to have you come back again. And we get really good feedback from our guests. And like I said earlier, they write in the guest book and they tell us about their experience and then they let us know. And we, because it's often a celebratory time, we got a lot of feedback from people early on saying, you know, what do you have for a romantic stay? Like, can I want to propose or I want to, it's a birthday celebration for my partner. And so we started adding things on. We have a proposal picnic experience that you can add on that has a Will You Marry Me sign that's really cute. And then you have a picnic that's this whole charcuterie spread. We have
decorator package with a sandwich board. We can write a sign on it. And
tailgate package. If you're coming and you want to watch a football game, you've got your Frito pie ready for you at the yurt ahead of the game. And we do have Wi-Fi at each of our yurts, and we have a TV outside. So we didn't say this part earlier. Each yurt has its own amenities. So as Brian was saying, sometimes you go to glamping places and everybody's sharing the fire pit or sharing the grills. That's not the way it works at the Yurtopian. If you rent a yurt with us, you are going to get in your yurt your own hot tub, your own fire pit, your own rooftop deck. And the rooftop deck is on top of an outdoor kitchen and bathroom that are, you know, covered by the deck, but open to the elements. And you have a grill and you have all the cookware that you need. And you can sit in your hot tub and watch Netflix, or you can go cozy up inside your yurt. Or you can sit by the fire pit and have s'mores. It's really beautiful, stargazing and like just quiet. We tell people all the time that we're basically just selling quiet in the woods.
That is so interesting that you say that. And I love the different amenities, because I know when it comes to glamping, people only think nature and just the beautiful lifestyle of camping, right? But you're also including wellness in there. So I want to talk about that side as well.
Sure. You want to talk about wellness?
Well, yeah. A few years ago, we decided, we've been trying to stay on top of our glamping industry. And the common conception of how the industry has evolved is that you need to, in this business, not just offer a unique or fun lodging amenity, but you need to offer other things as well. So we thought it would be a lot of fun to offer massages inside the yurts as well. That there's a good synergy vibe for massages and yurts. And so each of our two locations, Dripping Springs and Wimberley, have a spa yurt where we have two massage tables and we offer couples or singles massages. So we have a team of LMTs that'll come in whenever you'd like a massage and make sure that happens inside a yurt there.
As we're talking about community and making sure that people feel at peace when they're coming here, they're distancing themselves from the world, how are we marketing these yurts? Because for me, this is the very first time that I am hearing what a yurt is. And I am ready to purchase one. I'm ready to go in. I am ready to do my little staycation and drive on out there. But how are we putting this out to the world that this is what's happening at Yurtopia?
So our marketing has really evolved. When we started in 2019, pre-COVID, we put it on Airbnb at first. But from the beginning, we knew we wanted to build a brand that would be more than just through Airbnb. We wanted to have a website. So from the beginning, we set up a logo and made a brand and made our own website. I built it myself on Wix at the beginning because that was the path of least resistance and we didn't have the money to pay somebody for a fancy coded website. And it worked great. And we started growing. And the way we really grew it at the beginning in 2019, 2020 was influencers. So we would invite influencers from Instagram to come out, or they would reach out to us and say, I heard about you and I'd love to come out. And we would give them a free night stay on a Sunday through Thursday night, which was not a big deal for us. We weren't totally full at that point. And so we weren't offering a weekend stay where we needed the revenue, but we were offering Sunday through Thursday night. And they would come and take amazing pictures. They would have a good time and get a free staycation. And we would get the content and they would post to their followers and the phone would ring and we would get bookings. And it was phenomenal. So from about, I'd say 2019 through 2022, 23 maybe, we really just grew for organically from Instagram influencers. And then the market of influencers became more saturated. There was more competition in the glamping space. There are a whole lot more influencers. TikTok started growing. And so people were moving over to the TikTok space. And kind of since 2023, we've been also doing, we still have influencers who come out, but we also do paid digital ads. So where it was all free to us, essentially, other than the night stay. Now we do have part of our marketing budget, or a huge part of our marketing budget, goes to paid digital ads. And we do them on Meta, so Facebook and Instagram, and then also on Google. And we spend some amount of money on SEO, search engine optimization as well.
Absolutely.
Somebody types in glamping in Texas or stay at a yurt in Texas, then we're going to pop up at the top.
Very nice. Okay, so with that being stated, for our business owners that are listening, right? Businesses evolve, right? You don't want to be complacent, stuck in the same thing. Marketing, people still do the news. People still do newspaper. I'm like, times change. There are so many different ways to now market your business, even when it comes to resources and getting grants and getting loans and all these different things. What are some resources that you can share for someone who feels like they're not bankable? For an example, they go, they bring their business plan. They think, oh, we should be good to go on their end. But when it comes to a bank, we still need these other documents. Where are they, right? On that end, when it comes to marketing, you said yourself, the marketing plan was legit. We started off not paying any dollars, but we had to evolve once we got bigger to now do digital marketing. So with that being stated, for businesses that feel like they're complacent, they're not growing, what type of resources, even in the glamping industry or just being a business leader, what can you provide as far as resources to support them where they are today?
I think one bit of advice I would say is if you've got the plan and the documents in place, an idea for growing, but you need bank financing, I think that shopping the banks, finding a bank, just because you go to one or two banks who aren't excited about helping you out, doesn't mean that you're not a bankable idea. So I would really reach out to several bankers who, until you find that one that's willing to support you and help you massage those documents to make the right presentation in front of, you know, in front of the boards and committees that are needed to make that loan go through. And the, in our case, when we went to buy the property in Dripping Springs, our expansion property, that was 46 acres there just down the road, we found a banker who was willing to take the financials from our business in Wimberley and apply those assumptions to how the business would work in Dripping. So in Dripping Springs, we bank financed that project without any existing business in place, which a lot of banks would like to see to begin with. But that was a new business startup. I mean, it was raw land that we were going to build out similar units to what we'd done in Wimberley. And we found somebody who was willing to say, okay, yeah, I'll take those Wimberley numbers and we will use those as assumptions on how it's going to work in Dripping Springs. The point is, I suppose, is find that banker that's willing to say, okay, yeah, there's something there and let's figure out how to make that presentation work and use the right assumptions to make this bankable.
Typically, we had 2 years of proof of concept, right, in Wimberley before we went to Dripping.
It might have been hard if we'd just been operating for 2 months in Wimberley to say, hey, you know, look, it's so great. That might have been hard. I mean, the more history you have behind you, the easier it is. But still, it was A little less than two years. That's not a lot. And so we were happy to find a banker that.
Because our first year, we only had one and then we had three. I mean, you know, we were trying to show like 2 full years of this is what 9 units do. Yeah, we were kind of.
We had to make some assumptions.
Yeah, and it worked. But I also think associations within the industry can be useful resources. Like from our perspective, we are members of the Glamping Association and they're really great in our business at having resources like banks and marketing. People that know marketing of your industry can be a lot less expensive and more efficient than if you just go to somebody in general to build your website or build your marketing plan that isn't specific to your industry. It can be a little daunting to find the right fit, but your association might actually have, you know, 5 resources ready to go that would cut through all that red tape and know exactly how to help you market yourself or how to approach the bank, or maybe it's the banks themselves.
Which banks to approach?
I love that. And so what I would love to add to that is tapping into your local resources, because now that I'm a business owner, not only do I have my own podcast, but I also support people in creating and launching theirs and also growing them. I have tapped into the local resources. For an example, in Dallas, Comerica Business HQ, they have a lot of cohorts that will help you build a business plan so you can be bankable. And a lot of times they're building and helping you create this business plan because they can actually get you in touch with these banks. And so what I was saying is, whomever's listening, definitely figure out and tap into your local resources because they're touchable. You can actually see them. They have meetings. They have programs. So get in your local resources and see. All right. So with that being stated, you guys have a sweepstakes that is coming up on September 30th. So let's talk about that.
Sure.
Yeah. So we have come to a point in our business evolution where we have decided that it's time for us to exit one of our 2 properties. So we're going to keep running our property in Wimberley, but sell the property in Dripping Springs was our original thought. So we met with brokers and traditional real estate agents, et cetera, about how to make that happen in Dripping Springs and even put it on the market for a bit. But then we ran across an article in the New York Times about a woman in Ireland who had a farmhouse who raffled her farmhouse on a platform called raffle.com. So she actually ended up the winner ended up being in the United States. A woman in the United States of Irish descent ended up buying 3 tickets for around $15 and now owns a farmhouse in Ireland. And we read that article. We decided that it sounded interesting. We got in touch with the raffle.com platform, talked to the people over there about whether this made sense. Does it make sense in the United States? Does it work here? Do they have experience here? All those questions. We went down that path and we decided that this might be a good model for us. So yes, on September 30th, there'll be a drawing of everyone who's gotten a ticket. Our website is winmyranch.com. You can go there and get all the details about how it works and the disclosures so that it's fully transparent, etc. You can get a ticket on there. And on September 30th, there'll be a drawing for the winner.
And how can people tune in to look at the live raffle?
Well, so on September 30th at 5:15 Mountain Time, so 6:15 p.m. Central Dallas time, the winner will be chosen by the raffle.com platform. So we're going to be actually at the glamping show at the time because we thought it would be fun to do the ending of this drawing at the glamping show with our community. And it will be announced on the page. And then, of course, we'll go on all of our social media. We'll be on Instagram and TikTok and tell everybody who the winner is. And then we get in touch with the winner. So we're excited about it. It's new. We're the first property in the United States to be given away in this type of transaction. And
we just thought it was a lot more creative, fun,
absolutely,
more democratized way of doing what has otherwise been kind of a traditional route.
And it's dream creating, right? I mean, the idea that somebody could win the property having just gotten a couple of tickets or even just one ticket, and then you end up with this property and it could be a family compound. You don't even have to run the business if you don't want to. You could, of course, succeed to the business if you want to, but also it could just be a dream for somebody who maybe feels like they aren't in normal routes going to be able to own a property like our Dripping Springs Resort.
I love it. So I'll make sure to include all of the links in the show notes because we want people to definitely sign up. And I think it'll be fun just to see who the winner is as well.
Absolutely. So winmyranch.com is where you go to for all the tickets. And then theutopian.com is our website. If you want to come stay with us, we would love to have some of your listeners come stay and experience the Hill Country because the Utopian is really unique.
Absolutely. All righty. Well, this is a wrap. Is there anything that I missed or if you want to give the people some inspiring words, I will leave this on the table for you guys.
I have one more thing we could say. So if you go buy tickets at winmyranch.com, use the promo code Texas Fund. If all one word, Texas Fund, there's a spot for a promo code and we're giving 10% of the proceeds for everybody who uses Texas Fund to the Kerr County flood victims. We're about 2 hours from Kerr County, so that's not exactly our area, but they're definitely our Hill Country neighbors. And we started this drawing right after the flood had occurred, and we felt like it would be a really nice way to give back to that community. And so if you decide to buy tickets, use the promo code Texas Fund, and we've already raised over $20,000. So we're excited to see if we can make those numbers go up with more ticket sales.
Beautiful. Brian, did you have any last words?
We're so happy to be on this podcast, Brianna. It's been fun.
Awesome. Well, I'm so glad that I have met you, beautiful couple. I will make sure all the links that you mentioned will be in the show notes. So everybody that's listening, make sure you support. But again, I want to thank you. I want to thank everyone that's listening. If you're listening to this morning, noon, evening, or night, thank you for listening to What's Good Podcast, and see you guys next time.
Thank you, Brianna. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of What's Good Podcast with your girl, Brianna Javon. If you found today's discussion inspiring, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform. Explore additional resources on our website at whatsgood-productions.com and find our social media links listed in the show notes. Stay tuned for more captivating stories ahead. Until next time, stay blessed and keep uplifting your community.